Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, you are listening to Just Films and That. This is the podcast where we talk about films we think might be underrated or underseen. I'm the host for this week, Josh Allman, and I'm joined as ever by my co-host, Alice Oliver. It was Alice's turn to pick this week, so let's see what we reckon. So this week we're going to be talking about Tremors 2 Aftershocks. Before we do that, I just want to draw your attention to our Patreon page. If you want a little bit of extra content from us, access to episodes a day early or ad-free episodes, extended episodes, stuff like that, click the link in the episode description, patreon.com/justfilmsandthat, and it'll take you to it. All tiers include, as I say, ad-free extended episodes that you get a day early, and that starts at £1 a month. Any support you can give us will be massively appreciated anyway. Alice.
Yeah.
Tremors 2 Aftershocks.
From
1996, I want to say, something like that.
Okay.
Spoiler warnings if you haven't seen Tremors 2 Aftershocks. I'm intrigued by this one, Alice. So I think I know why you picked it.
That's obvious. Surely it's obvious.
Tell the people at home a little snippet of what it's about and why did you pick it for the podcast? Is it underrated? Is it underseen? Do you just like big worms?
So, well, I think we've established that, yes, I do just like big worms. We've had Tremors. You've seen me reviews of Dune. Like, I'm all about the big sandworms.
Sandy worms is a really specific taste you have in films, but it's
I don't get it. I don't know where that's come from.
Beetlejuice, there's sandworms in that, if you like Beetlejuice.
I've not seen it, you know.
Have you
I've
not?
Not seen it.
No, it's watch on it in the time list, for though. Beetlejuice, the sequel to Beetlejuice.
Yes, I love that as a sequel name as well. But yeah, that is definitely one on my list. But yes, Tremors 2 Aftershocks. So it's an action comedy horror and is a direct-to-video sequel to Tremors, which was one of the first films I chose when I joined Just Films and That. So in the first film, it is believed that all the Graboids have been successfully destroyed, but there now seems to be a new swarm of the creatures killing people in Mexico. So Earl is brought back to try and deal with the problem and is joined a little ways down the road by Bert. And they soon discover that the Graboids are reproducing and their offspring are two-legged creatures that can move above ground and see using infrared. Dun dun dun. Spooky. Why did I pick it? You know what? I think it's definitely underseen. I definitely think it's straight to video.
I think straight to video.
I think we've done a couple of straight to video
films. Though.
Not loads.
No, Stuart Alive Backwards.
Yeah. I suppose
it's like TV films. / straight to video. They can be quite similar, can't they? Like they were shown once on TV and then they went straight to video. So maybe Stuart Alive Backwards wasn't. It definitely was because I think it was on telly, wasn't it? So this is definitely straight to video or DVD or whatever. I can't think of others.
Action Force, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a sort of straight to video or a straight to TV or whatever it was. Yeah. And I'm sure there was a couple more, you know.
Yeah.
So I do think it's underseen in that regard. I do think it might be a little bit underrated as well.
Okay.
Critically, yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of what I thought when I picked it anyway. We'll see if I still feel the same at the end of this. But, you know, I think sometimes I feel like I need to have the discussion to really know how I feel about something and hear some of the things that you have to say about it too.
So was this one you'd seen before or did you watch it because you liked Tremors when we did it last time? Like, had you seen a few of the Tremors films back in the day or...
This is the only sequel that I'd seen, but I had seen this sort of not at the time, but when I was very, very young. Once again.
You didn't watch it because we did Tremors on the podcast.
No. I had already seen it. Yeah. It was again, Roger taped it off the television.
Big Rog. Yeah.
Big Rog taping it off the TV. So we had it on VHS in that regard. And I just remember, I had the memory of really enjoying it. Mm. Similar to a couple of the films we've done as well. Couldn't really remember like loads about it and like the finer details. I knew that the new monsters were kind of on two legs and stuff. And I knew that Earl and Bert were obviously back in it as well. But I couldn't remember, you know, strictly the narrative concept, as it were. But I just remembered having quite a lot of fun whilst watching it. I'm gonna place my bets and say that you hadn't seen this one before, Joel.
No, I hadn't seen it. So when we did Tremors, I'd heard of Tremors and never seen it, and I watched it and I enjoyed it. I remember thinking it was, you know, fun and schlocky and stuff like that. When we did that episode, that was when I found out there was 8 sequels or 7 sequels or something like that. The most recent one is from 2020, so
wild,
they're still making them, and Bert's still in them. So no, I hadn't seen this before. You know, I don't think it would be a surprise to say, whilst I enjoyed the first Tremors, I went into this with low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really know why. Probably because, again, I enjoyed the first Tremors, so it's probably because it went direct to video.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually, not always, but it is quite often usually, or certainly was back in the day, a mark of a lack of confidence in the film.
Yes.
So it was like, we're not going to back this for a release, stick it straight on video, try and make our money back on video or DVD. And, you know, whereas now they just kill the film completely, like Batgirl or Acme versus Coyote. So no, I hadn't seen it before and I did go into this with low expectations. So do you want me to say what I thought overall, or do you want to go into what you liked about it?
I think let's start with you, Josh. I'm keen to know what you thought of this and watching this for the first time in 2024.
Overall, I enjoyed it, you know. I thought it was good fun. I mean, it probably helped that I went in with low expectations, to be honest with you, because I was just like waiting for it to be bad. And it was just sort of more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, more of that same tongue-in-cheek, funny, daft, but also, you know, good bit of tension building and good bit of sort of mise-en-scene and world building and stuff like that. So overall, I enjoyed it. I'll come on to what I liked in a minute, but I want to give you your chance to give Tremors Aftershocks its due. What do you like about it?
So I think similar to what you said there, like it is quite daft and it is quite silly. And I think it really leans into that a lot more in this one than it does in the first film, for sure. So I will say it did take me a little bit of time to warm up to this one. Like I was thinking, like, sort of during the first half hour, if I'd misjudged it and possibly made a bad decision by picking the film for the podcast. But it was about half an hour or so in when Bert, so played by Michael Gross, when he rejoins the fray, it really picks it up for me. So I love Bert. He's brilliant in the first one. He's such an extreme character with so much energy. He's this real gun enthusiast and a bit of a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, but then he's actually a really good problem solver as well. And he's quite fearless and he seems so confident in his own abilities when he's faced with these terrifying, dangerous creatures. And he's just so much fun to watch.
I love that character as well.
Oh, he's so great, isn't he?
One of the things I like about him is, so like you say, he's a bit of a, what he says, he sort of says he's a survivalist, doesn't he? So he's got, you know, food, that military supply food that lasts for 10 years and all that sort of stuff. And loads of guns and ammo and trucks.
So many guns and bombs. All that.
And what you're sort of used to seeing is characters like that as a fish out of water, not in their element, where they're the strange one.
Yeah.
And not the person you really would want on your team. Whereas what Tremors does is put him exactly where you'd want him, on your team.
100%.
And he's just, you know, he's just in his element.
Yep, absolutely. And you get that from him sort of in the first one as well. He's like, he's got all this equipment and, you know, this like underground bunker and all these things, and they come in so handy in the end, sort of thing. And it's like, oh, see, I told you, Bert, you best, sort of thing. So he really lifted it up for me quite a lot. I really enjoy the look of it as well. So obviously we've got similar landscape to the first one. It's dry and it's pretty arid and it's really dramatic and it feels really isolated, but there's something quite enjoyable. Like, it feels really isolated and it complements the vibe of the film really well, but sometimes it feels really relaxing. Like when Earl and Grady. The kid's name, Grady. When Earl and Grady are just sort of like chilling out, like in the truck and that, like waiting for something to happen. You know, they're trying to lure one of the Graboids to come up to them and that. And they're just sitting there and, you know, you've got like these beautiful wide shots there on the truck and there's all this landscape in the background. There's something quite soothing and quite calming about it. And then obviously the Graboids turn up and things get serious. Do you know what I mean? But I did really enjoy that, and I'm pleased that obviously it carried on with the similar sort of vibe from the first one. And I do quite like how daft the whole thing is. It's quite fun. Like, it really feels a lot sillier than the first one. And I think this is mostly because the mystery itself isn't as strong. So if you do think back to the first one, you know, we see a few different people die in quite horrific ways without really having any idea what's happening. And it really builds around the mystery of the Graboids until we get the reveal. And the way that they do this leans much more into the horror elements of the film. But you don't really get that in this one because to some extent we already know what we're about to encounter. So like, you get the couple of people at the beginning who would get killed and it's like, well, we know what's happening to him. Obviously this is a Tremors film. Like, we know it's going to be the big worms. So because the mystery and the tension isn't as strong, it feels like the film is instead leaning more into the wackiness and it's a bit more fun and a bit more laid back in general, I thought. And I think a lot of the decisions that the characters make are like a little bit sillier. And I was like, if you like big, dumb horror, then I think this would tick a lot of boxes for you. And just finally, love the music. It's like this really interesting blend of Western and horror, and it's quite atmospheric, but then dramatic at times, but then also really relaxing at other times. But it all felt really uniform and very location and genre appropriate. Those were the main things that I liked about it. So what are your thoughts on some of those, first of all?
I completely agree. Obviously, we've talked a little bit about Bert as a character there. One thing I particularly agree with you there is how it works as a sequel. So, like you say, the first one, it's a lot more tension, a lot more. I'd say the first one's a lot more of a horror film, or certainly a thriller film, whereas this is a little bit more thriller. It's a bit of horror action. There's comedy in there as well. So, generally, it's all over the place, but in a good way, good balance and stuff like that. But for me, for the large part, this is how you do a sequel, right? So, you've got the world, you've got the rules of your world. You don't need to establish them again. The world has carried on since the events of the first film. So how is it going to be different? So by upping the stakes slightly, by giving the Graboids legs and showing that they've evolved and stuff like that, you get a really, you know, get a lot more sweet juice out of the fruit type of thing, don't you? And I think it works really, really well. You know, there are those typical sequel things, like some of the actors don't come back. So Kevin Bacon and Reba McEntire don't come back. But you don't really miss them. Do you know what I mean? It gives a good, well, not as much as you would if it had been done badly, I suppose.
I pulled a face there, listeners, when he said that, which is why he had to second guess his point.
But also, they give good reasons for them not being there in a way.
They do.
In a way that they could come back. So he just sort of goes, he went off and married, he got married and, you know, he settled down and Bert's wife's left him, who's Reba McEntire, and which is obviously entirely feasible because of the nature of what Bert's like as a character and stuff like that. So A, could definitely have come back, or, you know, they're still making sequels, they still come back now. But B, I didn't feel their absence as much. I thought you got a really good substitute for Kevin Bacon's character in Grady in there and stuff like that. So I really like that they took what was good about the first one and expanded it and stuff like that. And they made it, like we've said, a bit funnier. The world expansion exploration's really good. I think that, you know, they also do little things that I really enjoyed, like, again, messing around with the rules of the first one. So, for example, that whole thing of, well, why don't you just get the army in and blow the shit out of them?
And they sort of go,
because the more people who are causing boots on the ground, the more likely it is they'll just come up in numbers and attack you. So they basically solve that problem. You know, they solve it. It's like when you know, quite often, if you get it in comic book films, where it's like you have to solve the problem of, well, this person's so powerful, they rock up. You know, why isn't Captain Marvel in all of Endgame? Because if she's there, no one else is needed.
Yeah.
So, you know, stuff like that. So I enjoyed that. Again, more exposition on the Graboids. You find out they're not aliens. They're prehistoric, or they're really, really old life forms and stuff like that. And they don't spoon feed you too much and stuff like that. So, I still really enjoyed that. Yeah, I think it's quite it's quite understated in its stakes. You know, they're just there in the wilderness, in the desert, surrounded by graboids. No one mentions about the world ending or anything like that. So quite like it's both understated in its stakes and its world building, but then its execution's really melodramatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with mm-hmm. the guts and the blood and the way the characters are and stuff like that. So I think it works well to keep it light and floaty, but also like enjoyable. It's a nice souffle of a film. It's a well-made omelette of a film. Do you know what I mean? I enjoyed it much more than I thought I was going to. It's not one that like, I'm not going to be going back to it all the time, but I had fun with it. And just lastly as well, Fred Ward in this. So first of all, I think he's great in this. He gets more to do because he's more of the lead character as Earl rather than sharing it with Kevin Bacon. Since we did the first Tremors, he has passed away. So I just thought, pay a little tribute. He's brilliant in this. Really, really likable. And as well, I'll say this for him, great hair.
Oh,
great hair.
Wonderful hair.
Top-notch hair in it.
And I love as well, so because it's quite subtle to begin with, because obviously he's sort of like a bit of a washed up has-been, like living in his trailer on his ostrich farm. And he's got like all these graboid like paraphernalia and stuff where they've obviously become quite the celebrities after what had happened. But he's just like, he's a bit of a wreck. He doesn't look too good and whatever. And then like the first woman he interacts with, suddenly, oh, he's shaved and he's washed his hair and he tucks his shirt in. Like just funny little things like that. And I did enjoy that because I noticed the shirt tucking in thing, especially because it just sort of indicates he's probably not really been around many people like since it happened. Like he's literally just living on his little sort of ostrich farm thing. And then, like, literally the first woman, he's like, oh, fuck, better tuck my shirt in sort of thing. Cute little moments like that I thought were good. But, yeah, he is really likeable.
Okay, so move on to the dislikes then. Anything we didn't like about Tremors 2 Aftershocks. Alice, I'll come to you first because you picked it. Is there anything you didn't like? You've got a face like there is, so... Mm. I mean, you're nodding. I don't mean she's just pulling her face.
Well, I'm always pulling a face, really.
What? Everyone's always pulling a face. But what didn't you like, or what would you change about it?
So
more sequels?
In 7 or 8 sequels is not enough, in my opinion. I want one for every graboid. So in contrast to what you said earlier, for me, there is a massive Kevin Bacon-shaped hole in this film. So part of the charm of the first one is the relationship between Val and Earl. You get to know a bit about them and what they're like, and a lot of this is explored through Show, Don't Tell. But in this one, you don't quite get as much of that with all the characters. So Earl's new buddy, if you like, so he's the guy, he's Grady, isn't it? So is it Chris Gartin?
Yeah, and he's not... I was looking at him because I was like... At first, I thought it was Justin Bartha because he looks a bit like him. And then I was like, but it's not. And then I thought, I've not seen him in anything.
No, I didn't recognise the
fella. He's done a lot of Italian stuff, but no. I mean, I thought he was, he's not Kevin Bacon, but I did think he was good in it. But yeah, he's not the same. And I will say that it's not the same.
I think he did really well with what was given to him. And the situation he sort of found himself in. But for me, their relationship, it didn't really feel that authentic or natural. So Grady, the character, he's like a bit of a fanboy for Earl because obviously after he and Val became like a little bit famous and stuff, he was quite into it. And I don't mind the dynamic of that in and of itself. But the whole thing just kind of feels a little bit forced, and a lot of the conversations between Earl and Grady are a bit exposition dumpy, like just sort of reiterating things that have happened between the first film and the second film.
Particularly in the first 20 minutes or so, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a bit like, oh, you were this guy and this is what you did. Oh, and I heard you did this as soon as you... Yeah. And it was all just very, very much like that. So whereas obviously in the first film with Val and Earl's relationship, because it's already been established, they've got a bit of history together. So you just kind of believe them a bit more and you're rooting for them. So I suppose what I'm trying to get at is that we wanted to see another buddy, you know, the buddy type relationship. And it just didn't quite land for me in this. It didn't quite have the same impact.
Do you think there's an element of Kevin Bacon couldn't do it, so they just replaced him as best they could, almost like for like? So Earl's a bit older. So Kevin Bacon's a bit younger, so they just went, give him another young sort of, like not psychic, but you know, well, it's a psychic in this instance, but in the first one, it's not like, give him another young buddy or whatever. And really, they could have just either not had a similar character or come up with a completely different dynamic or whatever? Do you think they've just tried to swap out and let's basically substitute bacon?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's not different enough. But it at the same time, I want to defend the film and obviously say that they want to try and indicate that Earl has been a bit isolated for this time.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have anyone. You know, Val left. He spent all his money. There is sort of something quite sad about the situation he's in. So who would he have had around him? Like, it makes sense that he didn't really have anyone around him. And so, you know, you get this young, kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young lad who's like, oh, my God, you're Earl. You're the Graboid killer type thing. So I get it, and I appreciate that that's what they were doing, but it just lacked a bit of oomph for me in terms of the relationship between them. And so I didn't, like, I just wasn't super rooting for them and that sort of thing. And just generally, I found it just a little bit weak in a few places. So some of the script choices, some of the story and character development, and at times it did feel a tiny little bit boring, especially the first sort of, again, I keep saying the first sort of 30 minutes or so. So this film really does benefit from Bert showing back up. And like he is the entertainment in this, I think. Mm. So when he's not there, there were times where it did sort of drop off a little bit for me, and I was like, "Oh, the energy's lacking a little bit here."
It feels like there's a lot less characters in this. There's like five characters. There's you know, Earl, Grady, Bert. I can't remember what the scientist is called.
No, but I know who you mean.
Lady, and
the guy who hires them,
and the other guy that gets killed.
Yeah.
And that's like six, whereas in the first one, it feels like there's sort of 10, 15 solid characters.
Yeah, because you've got the shopkeeper, you've got the young lad, you've got the woman and her daughter, you've got Rhonda, like Bert and his wife. There are a few more, and they're all really different from one another as well. So you sort of get sort of different reactions to what's going on and stuff, and how they're all differently affected by the mystery. And then that in itself sort of also enhances, because they all obviously know each other, because the town that they live in is so, so small. Can you even call it a town? Like, it's not even a place, is it? Yeah. Whereas in this one, it's like, because it's not personal to them, like it's in Mexico, isn't it? They don't live there. They've gone from where they are to where the situation is. So it feels a lot less personal, I think, because it's not their homes being destroyed, you know, it's not a worm sort of coming through the wall of your basement and you having to shoot it to death with the elephant gun sort of thing. So I think you lose a little bit.
Do you think perhaps there's an element of it of, well, they've just tried to repeat the same formula?
A little bit, but I think have maybe missed on what made that first one magical.
They've tried to repeat it with less money, and they've ended up with a sort of a bit of a tribute act. So I like a lot about it, but I can see when you think about it as a sequel, what I've said is good, but in my opinion, but it's more of the same, but more of the same. It's almost like, you know, it's diet Tremors.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A little bit. I'd be interested to know how much more it goes on with the sequels, because this is the last one Earl's in. And I think from what I can tell from reading about the sequels, they then become all about Bert.
Okay. So I'm very soon about to have a lot of time on my hands. So maybe it's time to sit down and do the Tremors marathon and watch them back to back.
I think maybe it's I'll seven. I think there's seven of them.
Okay, I'll see. It's about time. I reckon I need to watch them, you know. What about you? Was there anything that you didn't like or you would change?
Do you know what? A lot of what you said didn't really come into mind, but then I think that's because I didn't have a relationship with the first one. And the only relationship I really have with it now is that I watched it for the podcast.
Yeah.
Whereas it was so rooted in nostalgia for you
that
I can completely
deeply see
that why you have that big Kevin Bacon-sized hole. And I'm like, yeah, it's sort of all right. Do you know what I mean? Because you'll be like, oh, when I watched it when I was a kid, and it was Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward and all that sort of stuff. So I didn't really see that, but I think that's down to both of our different relationships with the film. A few pacing issues, sort of like you say, a few exposition issues. Nothing particularly big. There was that issue again of who's this for? Because it doesn't need to be an 18 or 15 or whatever it is. I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's probably a 15. But it's like, there's no reason it couldn't just be like Gremlins.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. And there were, you know, It's 1996, so that does go a long way to explaining this, but there is also some pretty questionable CGI in the last 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, yes,
And I get it, you know, it's almost 30 years old. But it is, as we always say, it's post-Terminator 2, so and that still looks great. So other than that, no, not loads, really. I'm just not that bothered on the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see this one and the first one for what they are. If you pick the third one, fourth one, 11th one, I'd watch those. But I'm not going to be going in and, you know, it's not going to become my franchise or anything like that. Okay, so we'll move on to talking about the critical reception then. Now, I haven't seen the critical reception because that's the format of this little podcast. So how do I think it did? I'm going to say it did... So not that well, but I will cop to something, which is obviously when I was finding the film, I was making sure I could find where it was. And I did read the sentence, something like, this is considered to be one of the better direct-to-video sequels, as in not of Tremors. Generally speaking, direct-to-video sequels aren't always well-reviewed. So I'm going to say it's not reviewed that well, but not that badly. Do you know what I mean? We're not, so I don't think we're looking at like a, you know, your twos and your threes and your fours. But I'm going to say it did a five and a half.
Okay.
Five and a half, I'm going to say.
Okay, is that what you would give it?
I would give it a six.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was, or maybe a high five. I thought it was decent. Yeah, and even a 5.8, that's what I'm going to give it.
Yeah, I'd probably be right there with you. I think it's sort of a high five.
It's fine. It's fine. It's not the one set in the 1800s, which we were talking about, but it's, you know, it's fine. It's Tremors 2 Aftershocks.
Yeah. Can't wait to watch that. Sounds like the best thing ever.
Alice is back, everyone. Guess what? Trevor's four.
Four, five, six, seven, and eight.
So how did it do then? Let's hear the scores.
Okay, so on IMDb, it gets 5.9 out of 10. And then over on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics give it 60%.
Right. That's generous.
It's only 10 reviews, though. Not many reviews on there at all. And then the audience give it 46%. Now.
Ooh.
When I, like I said, a huge part of the reason that I picked it was because I remembered the feeling that it gave me when watching it as a kid. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. So when I saw those scores initially, I was like, oh, that's pretty low. I think I can definitely pick this for the podcast. Mm. And then now sort of having watched it, I don't think really those scores are that unfair.
The audience one's quite harsh. Well, give me the three again and I'll work out the average.
It was 5.9.
Yeah.
60. And then 46.
46 does drag it down.
It does.
So that is 55. So 5.5. So I would go with, I'd happily be kind and say appropriately rated. But if you want to go overrated, it's your choice. You get the deciding vote.
No, I wouldn't say that's overrated. I'm quite surprised at the critics' score that they gave it 60%. But I think from what I could read, they sort of enjoyed how silly it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm quite surprised that you don't often get the audience being that much harsher than the critics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say the audience score, that is harsh, but obviously working it out on that average of 55 or 5.5 out of 10, for me, I think we're agreed there. Appropriately rated, but underseen, maybe worth a look.
I think definitely underseen. If you look at the amount of reviews that it has online, it isn't loads. Obviously, it was straight to video.
So there's no box office, which is obviously, it's always a pain in the ass to try and figure them out.
So I think there's definitely an argument that this is underseen. I mean, I sort of felt like Tremors was underseen as well. So if that is, then I think this definitely is. So there we have it. Tremors 2 Aftershocks, maybe appropriately rated, but I think definitely underseen. And if you like big, dumb, crazy horror, then I reckon there's something in this for you. But anyway, enough about me and my worms. Josh? It's your turn to pick. What are we going to be watching for next week?
So we're coming to that time now where we've only got a few left before you go off and have a babby.
Oh.
So which you're looking forward to. I know you've mentioned it a few times. So next week's going to be my... What we got to do? We've got three episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
Next week is going to be my last pick.
Okay.
The week after, you're going to pick one. And then your last episode, you've got one that you just want to talk about and I'm going to let you talk about it. How's that sound?
fun. Yep, love it. My time to shine, being self-indulgent and all that.
So in the spirit of the fact that in the podcast, you know, there has been times where we've picked certain actors and we really love their work and stuff like that. Keanu Reeves. We yet to do a Christian Bale film, but I know we both like Christian Bale.
I don't even really know. I don't think I've seen that much of him.
No, I think he was in Spider-Man or something like that.
He's all right.
Anyway, but one of those actors is Tom Hardy. And one of his breakout performances was a little film called Bronson.
Ooh.
So next week, we're going to be talking about Bronson.
Oh, okay. Into it. Let's see how we go.
Yes, so there we go. Next week, we're going to be talking about Bronson. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, it's filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. Just search for Just Films and That, and you'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever it's called now, Instagram, TikTok. We're on YouTube. Give us a follow. And we're always putting stuff out there. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week to be talking about Charlie Bronson. It's goodbye from me. Cheerio.
Bye.